Good morning.
Good morning.
Today's New Testament reading is James chapter 1, verses 5 through 18. I will be reading from the English Standard Version. Let us pray. Lord, as wise we try to be, we always falter in our ways. Only you, O Lord, are our source of truth and wisdom. Fill our hearts with what you have to teach us from your word. Give us your strength to apply it to our lives. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hear the word of God. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generosity to all without reproach, and it will be given him. And let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation, and the rich man in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass he will pass away. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass. Its flower falls and its beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has been conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, and that we should be a kind of his first fruits of his creatures. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's bow for prayer. O God, your word is truth. Open our hearts and our lives now and write your truth within us so that we might be transformed to be more like Jesus, your living word, in whose name we pray. I'm going to focus on the first handful of verses there. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him or her ask of God, who gives generously and without reproach. If we lack wisdom, ask. There's a difference in the Bible. The Bible has, as I mentioned, in this series, we're making our way through the book of James. And James is almost like an Old Testament book that snuck into the New Testament. It's wisdom literature, like the book of Proverbs. And the Bible contains a lot of law, and that's really good. But law is different from wisdom. You remember, who was it that had the campaign? I guess, was it Apple that had the ad campaign? There's an app for that. Okay. With a whole lot of things in life, there's a law for that. If you're contemplating adultery, there's a law for that. The answer is no, by the way. Yeah, don't do that. There's a law for that. If you're contemplating embezzling from the company that you work for, there's a law for that. You don't do that. Thou shalt not steal. Okay, there are things in life that are like that. They're really cut and dried. There's a law for that. But not every situation in life has a law, necessarily. Let me give you an illustration from one of my all-time favorite movies. Oh, by the way, last Sunday night, Charla and I, we actually went out on a date. I'm such a romantic rascal. We saw The Sound of Music on the big screen. It was a special big screen showing. Oh, my. The small screen doesn't do it justice. Anyway, I digress. We're thinking about the difference between law and wisdom. Think of The Wizard of Oz, and at the beginning of the movie, Dorothy is given a law. Follow the yellow brick road. It's really simple, very simple instruction. That's a law. You want to get to Oz, you follow the yellow brick road, right? And that works just fine until she comes to a fork in the yellow brick road, and it goes two ways, both paved with yellow brick. What does she do now? And she says, oh my, what shall I do? And the scarecrow, remember, is up on the pole, and he says, well, you could go that way. And this way is also nice. And some people go both ways, remember? Well, she can't go both ways. She needs to make a decision. And by the way, I think the wisdom, she could have gone either road. The wisdom is in taking a friend with her, in not going alone. It's amazing that there are still people in today's world who think that if people just had more information, they would make better decisions. I don't think that's true. We are awash in information. We are drowning in information, and it's not making us wise. In fact, the accessibility of information. When I wanted to get the exact words of the scarecrow, the dialogue with Dorothy when she first meets the scarecrow, I wanted to get the exact words. I just Googled Wizard of Oz script. Boom, there it was. Wisdom is not knowing a lot of things. It's about knowing what to do with what we know. Now, of course, when you think of wisdom in the Bible, you think of Solomon. And Solomon, I read the text a minute ago, he became king at a very young age. He's a teenager. And imagine the pressure on him. When the other boys in Jerusalem are worrying about who to ask to the Jerusalem high prom, he's worried about who to appoint as ambassador to Egypt. So all of this responsibility is thrust on him. And the Lord came to him in a dream and said, what do you want me to do for you? And he said, please give me wisdom. Make me wise to make good decisions. And that pleased the Lord, and the Lord answered that prayer. And I wonder if James had that in the back of his mind when he wrote, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. That's a great promise. God is not stingy with wisdom in life, and we come to those places in life where we know we need to make a decision, and there's no law for that. It's just, there's a fork in the road, and the advice of Yogi Berra, you know, if you come to a fork in the road, take it, that's not helpful. We need wisdom. And this text is telling us, wow, who would have thunk, turn to God and pray and ask wisdom, guide me, Lord. But it comes with a condition. Look at verse 6. But let him ask in faith without doubting. Now, I want to say a word of caution here. We are always and always will be, I am, a mixture of faith and doubt. Doubt, in fact, is not the opposite of faith. Doubt is the corollary of faith. The only people who ever have doubts are people who have faith. If you didn't have faith, you'd never have a doubt. So don't worry that you have doubts. I don't think that's what James means, that there's something wrong. What he's talking about is the kind of asker who shoots up a prayer, Lord, guide me, every now and then, but has absolutely no intention of following any guidance that might come from the Lord and is determined to go their own way anyway. And this is the one that James goes on to say, this one is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. In other words, when you're determined to go your own way, when you're determined to reject any wisdom that God would give, whether directly through his word or through the Holy Spirit in your heart, when you're determined to go your own way anyway, you're really not going to go your own way. you're going to be tossed about by the wind. Whatever force around you is the most powerful. It might be a charismatic leader, even a preacher. Might be a boss. It might be your circle of friends. It might be messages that you're getting over the secular media about what's the best way to live these days. If God's wisdom doesn't set your course, something else will. And once again, listen to James. That person, this one who has more doubt than faith, that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. But then James, well, I'm actually going to skip ahead here in James, because what James does, the structure of his letter is really unique. He'll introduce a theme, and then he'll come back to it almost in a cycle. And you come to chapter 3, and he starts talking about wisdom again. So I'm going to skip to chapter 3, verse 13. And he gives us a big hint about how to receive God's wisdom. This is 3:13. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness or humility of wisdom. Meekness and humility. When we ask for wisdom, we have to come with humility, which means receptivity. In other words, Lord, I'm surrendered in advance to follow where you lead. Now, of course, the primary way that we know the wisdom of God is by being saturated in Scripture, by knowing the book, and having the story of Scripture from its beginning to its end, have that so saturated in our lives that it begins to work itself out in the decisions that we make. But the Bible is not a spiritual cookbook. You know very well, you can't look up midlife crisis in the back and it'll say, turn to page 253 and find the instructions for midlife crisis. No, it doesn't work like that. James gives us some tests to identify God's wisdom. First of all, God's wisdom is practical, not theoretical. 3:13 again. Who is wise among you? Show it by a good life and by deeds done in humility. It's been said that, the Hebrew mind, and James is very Hebrew in his thinking. And it's been said that in the ancient world, if a Greek person wanted to know what you believed, he would start peppering you with questions and get at the kernel of what you believe. If a Jewish person wanted to know what you believe, they'd follow you around for about 3 weeks and just watch your life. And then they know what you really believe. Talk is really cheap. When I was a seminary student at San Francisco Theological Seminary, there was a favorite student hangout. It was a student lounge in the library building. And there was always plenty of coffee and plenty of blather. And because the students would gather there, and we would talk theology and philosophy. And, you know, it was usually a lot of showing off and trying to see who's read the most books or could at least pretend to have read the most books. And somebody one night snuck in there and put up a poster that was waiting for us the next day when we got in there for our Gab Fest. And it was this big poster, this picture of like five or six hippopotamuses. Or is it hippopotami? I don't know. And they're like in a river, and they all have their mouths wide open. And it had a caption down below. It said, when all is said and done, there's a lot more said than done. James would like that poster. That's James. Show it by your life, by deeds done in humility. You might say that James is the biblical equivalent of the Missourian. Show me. If you're truly wise, it's going to work itself out in your life. James is interested in our conduct, and this isn't a call to perfection. We're not going to get there. And it isn't a call to legalism, that we're going to start measuring our lives by some kind of ethical performance. But it is a call to really put shoe leather on our faith and seek to live it out day by day. The wisdom that comes from God is not intellectualism. The wisdom that comes from God will live itself out in our manner of life. There have been some very impressive, you look back at history, one of the things you see is that great intellect is not a predictor of moral or ethical behavior. There was a very powerful book written about 20 years ago by a British historian named Paul Johnson. It was simply titled Intellectuals. And what he did is he looked at the lives of about 15 intellectual giants of the last 200 years, people who have really shaped the thinking of the modern world. And I'll give you just two examples. The first one, Vladimir Lenin, leader of the Russian Revolution. And remember, he was all about it, and he did build this highly intellectual argument about justice for the common worker. Remember, workers of the world unite. He supposedly had this great compassion for the abused factory worker. Lenin never set foot in a factory until after he was leader of the Soviet Union. He had never even been in a factory. He didn't care about factory workers. And his policies led to the deaths of millions. Now, another one that was featured in the book, evil on a smaller scale, one of the great romantic poets was Percy Bysshe Shelley. Wrote beautiful poems of love. His abusive treatment of women drove two women to suicide, and he abandoned his own children. Now, the wisdom that you're relying on Monday through Saturday, where does it come from? What's the source of the wisdom you're relying on? Now, I've been talking about saturating our lives with Scripture, and I believe that we're called to do that. But the gospel is better than that. Remember, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 1:24 says, Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. Jesus is the embodied wisdom of God. And we don't worship him and follow him from a distance. Remember a couple of weeks ago, I talked about those two travelers on the road to Emmaus who were confused and perplexed and wounded because they thought Jesus was dead. And all of a sudden, he came walking right alongside them, and he led them through the Scriptures. He led them through the Word of God to show them that it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and then be raised from the dead. As we walk the road of life, and as we come to those places where there's a fork in the road, and what do? Boy, praise God. We have a risen Savior who is the wisdom of God right alongside us, within us, to lead us. So trust him today. Trust him for your life. Trust him for the life of this church. He won't let you down. Let's go to God in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the embodiment of the wisdom of Almighty God. And as you call us through your brother James, you call us to live by wisdom, to ask for wisdom, and we do. We ask right now, Lord, give us wisdom. There's folks right here in this room who may be facing maybe facing big decisions today. Maybe wondering what your future holds. Maybe wondering the direction that God would have you go. Lord, we ask right now, give us wisdom for our lives as individuals and in our families and in our work, in our life together as a church. Give us your wisdom that's so infinitely greater than our own. And we ask it in the name of the one who is wisdom, even Jesus our Savior. Amen.